Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 13. Malachi 3:13. It says, "Your words have been stout against me, the Lord saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered." Now, here in Malachi chapter 3, you'll notice that God is rebuking Israel to a point, but every time he mentions something they're doing, they always question whether or not they're really doing it. You know, it's almost like they're arguing with God. And I think that one of the things you see here is, you know, sometimes the Lord will convict us, but yet we don't want to admit the truth. And that happens to us a lot. Well, that's kind of what they were doing here in the book of Malachi. But when we look here at the book of Malachi, the main thing I want you to see is they thought, according to this passage, that there was no value in serving the Lord. To them, it was almost a waste of time. You know, Johannes Gutenberg was an inventor of the printing press, and they printed about 180 copies of the Bible. And it took years to do it, and that was between 1453 and 1456. The Gutenberg Bibles were copied from an older translation, and only 50 of those copies have been found. Now, that means that those Gutenberg Bibles are very, very rare, and they're very, very expensive. In fact, it's been said that if you found a two-volume set, the last two-volume set that was found sold for $3.2 million. That's how rare these things are. And so certainly there are a lot of people today that would, you know, they had a Gutenberg Bible, they would say, boy, you know, this thing, if they had one of those two-volume sets that was worth so much, I mean, they would look at that and they'd say, boy, you know, that is a valuable piece of property there. I mean, it's, you know, it's rare, it's significant. But, you know, really those same people probably wouldn't give it a thought that the fact that it's old is not what makes it valuable. The fact that it's God's word is what makes it truly valuable. You see, the true value of things are on the divine things. But we always look at the physical. We always look at the material things, and we place value on that. But to tell you the truth, the Bible that you have in your hand is worth more to you spiritually and more to you in life than anything that's worth money. Amen? And so that's something that we need to understand. That's something that these people in the book of Malachi did not understand. They thought that there was no value or profit in divine things. And so what I want to do is I want to look at a series of messages starting this morning that draws your attention to some of the more valuable things in life and shows you their value and profit. And one of the things I want you to consider this morning in the book of Malachi is the value of serving God. The question this morning is there value when it comes to serving God? You know, I mean, I think it's a fair question. George W. Truett said this. He said, "To know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find the will of God is the greatest discovery. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement." And that's probably true. What he was saying was this. He was saying that there is value in serving the Lord. William Borden was one of the wealthy Bordens. You've probably heard of him. He gave up his wealth and inheritance to go to China as a missionary. Many of his friends thought he was foolish, and they thought it was a waste of time, as they put it, to try to convert people to Christianity when he had so much money here in the States. But he hadn't been in China very long before he contracted a disease and he died. But at his bedside, they found a note that he had written while he was dying, and it read, "No reserve, no retreat, no regrets." You see, he saw value in serving the Lord. He saw the value in serving the Lord more so than the value of the money that he had on this earth. He understood that the things on this earth are temporary. The things on this earth you can't take with you. You only have this life, and life, I tell you, I don't know about you, but life kind of goes fast, doesn't it? And if you hang on to the things that you have in this earth, you know, you're not going to have them. You can't take them with you. But I tell you what, the value of serving the Lord lasts forever. And so Borden saw that. These people, Malachi, should have saw that. But they felt differently about serving the Lord. They considered the matter of serving the Lord pretty much as a waste of time, and they saw no value in serving the Lord at all. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" They were questioning the value of service. They were saying it's vain to serve the Lord. Now notice with me here how these people addressed the serving of the Lord. Malachi is speaking about what these people had said, and they said it is vain to serve the Lord. And if you read the book of Malachi, you find that people are saying many things about God, and you know, and they're continually voicing their opinions about things. For instance, back in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words." Now, every time that there's an accusation made, they'll say, "Well, how do we do that? You've done this. Well, how do we do that?" Now, when it says here that they've wearied the Lord with your words, the word "wearied" here is talking about exhausted. In other words, have you ever been around somebody that they talk so much that you just felt like you ran a mile and a half after listening to them? Amen. I mean, it just wears you out. Pretty soon you just want to sit there and just go in your car and sit there in silence for a while. Amen. Well, you know, that's kind of the way it was with these people. God was fed up and worn out with the things that they were saying, because the things they were saying were not glorifying God. We also read in Malachi 3:13 where it says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord." Malachi not only speaks of how they irritated the Lord with their words, but how they insulted the Lord with their words. The word "stout" means they're strong or harsh. Harsh words. They were both agitating and angering the Lord with what they were saying. However, when they were confronted again, they denied it. Look at verse 13. It says, "Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" Again, they just keep on denying every accusation that the Lord makes. So they were sitting around, they were talking about God, they were saying some stout, harsh things about the Lord, and they were denying that they had said anything at all. But then they said in verse 14, "It's vain to serve the Lord." In other words, they were saying that serving God was foolish, it was insignificant, it was unprofitable. Instead of looking at service as a favorable matter, they viewed it as a foolish matter, as a worthless thing. Instead of looking at serving God as to be an honor, a privilege, they were looking at it as not being important at all. Instead of viewing service as, you know, as something that would be a great profit for their spiritual life, they looked at it as where it didn't really matter at all. And you say, "Well, I can't believe anybody would think a way. I mean, I can't believe anybody would think it would be vain to serve the Lord." Well, I tell you this, there are many people today who view serving the Lord as a thing of less importance than other things. I mean, there are Christians today that may not say it's vain to serve the Lord, but they sure do take the service of the Lord, and they put it down the priority list a long ways. Let me ask you something. If you think that there's a lot of value in serving the Lord, aren't you going to make that your priority? I mean, think about that. I'll give you an example. If you think that you're going to get great value out of going to work and getting a paycheck, you're probably going to get up in the morning, even when you don't want to, and you're going to drive to work, even when you don't want to be there, and you're going to work hard. Why? Because you value that paycheck, right? I mean, you say, "If I don't go, I'm going to lose my job, and I won't have it anymore," so you value that paycheck. Well, the problem is when it comes to serving the Lord, sometimes we say, "Well, you know what, that's a very valuable thing to serve the Lord," but we don't act like it in our lives. For instance, here they said, "What value is it to serve you? It's vain to serve you." It's like they're saying, "You know what, I've got so many other things that mean so much to me that compared to those things, that's way down the list." And we say, "I can't believe that they would think that way." Christians all over the world think that way today. They, you know, compared to the other things in their life, they say, "You know what, the value of serving the Lord is just not one of my priorities." In other words, I don't look at it as being valuable as my job. I don't look at it as being as valuable as my time off. I don't look at it as being, because, hey, listen, time off is a valuable thing, amen? I mean, if you work a lot of hours, you know how valuable time off can be. There are people that work, you know, I know that at one time in the past, I was working 14 hours a day and every other weekend. I valued my time off. I made sure that the time off I had plans, I knew exactly what to do because I wanted to spend every moment of that time off. I wanted to make sure that I used it the best way I possibly could because I valued that time. Hey, listen, what do you value today? What do you value most today? And you say, well, I value the Lord and value serving Him. Does it show in the life that you live? Because if you put everything else ahead of serving the Lord, don't tell me how valuable you think it is. And that's what these people did. You know, people today, compared to their jobs, compared to their fun time, even compared to sleeping in. Now, I personally value that. Amen? I value sleeping in. It doesn't happen very often. In fact, really, for about the last 21 years, hadn't been a whole lot of sleeping in. Amen? I already told the boys, I said, you know what, once all the kids move out, the first thing I'm going to do is sleep in. Amen. But you know, even that should pale comparison to serving the Lord. You know, there are a lot of people who'd rather do those things than come to church. They'd rather sleep in. They'd rather value their time off. They'd rather, you know, go to their jobs. They said it's vain to serve the Lord. That's a pretty stout claim there. I mean, to say it's vain to serve the Lord. They were claiming that they had been serving the God and it was vain to do so. And as for that charge, that it was vain to serve the Lord, you know, anybody who can make that charge really have never served the Lord a whole lot, I don't think. Because if you've served the Lord any at all, would you agree this morning that one of the most valuable things you can do in this life is serve the Lord and be faithful? That is a valuable thing. You know, the greatest years of my life have been since I started serving the Lord. No doubt about it. The most adventure that I've ever had is since I started serving the Lord. I've noticed that when you're faithful and you serve the Lord always gives you a glimpse of Him, or at least a glimpse of the things that He's doing, to where you see Him moving and you see some of the things that He does and you say, wow, that could only be God. Amen? Now, when you start to live a faithful life and you're serving the Lord, sometimes the Lord will allow you to see things like that. It's almost like He's giving you a little teaser for how heaven's going to be. When you can see how powerful He is and you see how the things that He does. It's never vain to serve the Lord. It's never foolish to follow the Lord or live for the Lord or serve the Lord. Only those who have not served the Lord could make the statement that it's vain. Now, so we see how they addressed serving the Lord, but we also see how they approached serving the Lord. If you read back in Malachi chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance?" In these words, we see really their motive and how they approached the matter of serving the Lord. They had an ulterior motive for their serving. They was talking about what profit is it? In other words, what can we make on this thing? What can we get out of it? They wanted gain for serving the Lord. Their attitude was, if we're going to serve the Lord, then we expect something in return. You know, we expect to be paid somehow. We expect an attaboy somehow. We expect something. And their words reveal that really they had a motive. And we all have a motive for what we do, but we got to make sure that it's the right motive. Now listen, everybody in this room that are Christians, you know that one of these days you're going to get a reward in heaven. Amen? Now, if you've been serving the Lord, you're going to get that. But is that the reason you do what you do? Is it for the reward? No, that's not the reason you're supposed to. Now, if you do it for the glory of God. If you're doing it for the reward, you're doing it for the wrong motive. And here's the thing, you're going to be judged for your motives when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. God knows what your motive is. And so these people here, they had a motive. In other words, they weren't serving God out of gratitude. They were serving God out of greed. They wanted something. They did not look at serving God out because they love Him. They loved it because they served Him because of gain. And they did not look at serving God because of a debt that they owed, but a means of profit. You know, if anything else, the reason you should serve God is, number one, you're the servant and He's the master. Amen? Well, see, we all want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but until then, we want God to be the servant and us be the master. Listen, you should serve Him because He's God and you're not. You should serve Him because of the price He paid for you on the cross. You should serve Him for the glory of God, but not for gain. Not to see what you can get out of it. And you say, well, boy, these people here in the book of Malachi, they had some problems. Well, this is not the only people that had the same motive. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, listen to what it says. It says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" You see, he was saying the same thing. Now, when I read that, I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But it's easy for me to say that here 2,000 years later, okay? Listen, here's Peter, and he stands up there, and they had been with the Son of God. Now, he knew he was the Son of God. He already admitted it. He's standing there with the Son of God, and he says, now listen, we gave up everything to follow you. What's in it for us? I mean, you would think that just being able to be in the presence of him and do things for him would be enough. But see, he's interested in what he can get out of it. I've noticed that when it comes to some Christians, that same attitude is pretty prevalent today. For instance, there are people who come and they'll visit a church and they'll say, well, we're visiting to see what this church has to offer our family. And even though I don't think they have ill intent, but it shouldn't be that way. It should be, number one, are you preaching the truth? Number two, are you glorifying God? Number three, is the presence of the Lord here with us? And number four, what can I do to serve the Lord? Not what can your church do for me and my family. You see, that's really the same attitude that these people in Malachi had. That's really the same attitude that Peter had when he says, what's in it for me? And so there are some today that only serve the Lord for gain. For instance, there are people today, believe it or not, that only give because of the tax break. Believe it or not. That's serving the Lord for gain. That's not the reason you're supposed to give. You're supposed to give. You're supposed to be a cheerful giver. Amen? You're supposed to give because it's something that the Lord wants you to do. It's something the Lord's leading you to do. Listen, that has nothing to do with about gaining anything. You know what a lot of people do? A lot of people say, you know what, I'm going to give because I want to make sure the Lord gives back to me, you know, twofold. No. You know, the truth of the matter is I should give, you should give. If we get nothing back, we should do it. Why? It's for the glory of God. Amen? Now, we know that God blesses it. We know that. But that's the reason you do what you do is not for gain. It's not for gain at all. You know, the question to ask yourself is this. When it does come to giving, believe me, this is not a sermon about giving, but when it comes to giving, would you still give even if you had nothing more than just less in your checking account at the end of it all? There are a lot of people that wouldn't. A lot of people that wouldn't, okay? Many Christians today, when they sing, they do it for gain, even in churches. Now, I'm not saying the churches pay them to sing, but there are a lot of people today, when they sing, you know what they're singing for? The applaud of the people. They're singing for to be applauded. They're singing to be appreciated. They're singing to for people to think, boy, what a great singer. That's not the reason we're supposed to do it. When we come up here and we sing, or when a person comes here to sing, why does that person? What's the motive behind that? It's supposed to be, hey, listen, I hope that they enjoy it, but it's really not for them. It's for you, Lord. That's the reason a person does what he's supposed to be doing. It's for the Lord. It's not for gain for money. It's not for gain for popularity. It's not for gain for applause. It's not for those things. It's for the Lord. But there are a lot of people today that you know, they sing, and when nobody says, hey, you know, great song, they get mad. Why am I even wasting my time singing? Nobody appreciates it. Hey, listen, it's not about them appreciating it. I'm just going to tell you right now, I know I can't sing. I know I can't, but I know this. I don't care. Amen? I'm just going to get better and sing. Because even though I love you folks, I'm not singing for you. I'm singing for the Lord. Hey, listen, you know, think about a parent. You know, sometimes, like my daughter, what she'll do is she'll paint me a picture. Now, she's no Picasso. She's better than me. You've seen me drawing that board, okay? But she's no Picasso. but she's my daughter. You know how precious those pictures are to me? And when she sings, and she goes, Daddy, listen to this song. I wrote this song, and she plays. And she'll make mistakes on the piano, but she's playing for me. Do you think I care if she makes mistakes? To me, it's beautiful. Amen? It's the same way with the Lord. You know, we think that, you know, because we will always want everybody's approval. And we think, boy, if I can't sing, I'm just not going to get up there. You're not singing for everybody else. You're singing to God. You say, well, God wants a joyful noise. If you're singing to Him, it is a joyful noise to Him. Because He's your Father. You're the Son. Amen? You're a child of God. Everything you do for His glory, believe me, He appreciates it. And He loves it. Just like any parent would. And so sometimes our motives are just, they're not right. We've been, you know, sucked into this world type of a belief system where it's all about what other people think about you. You know, that's what, why do they want people stand up and say a sin is a sin? Because they're worried about what other people think. Why won't people go out and witness to people today? Because they're worried about what other people are thinking. Our motives are messed up. Because we bought into this world system where it's all about us offending other people. Don't want to offend other people. That's hate language. Don't offend. And all these different things. Listen, when it comes to God, you do what God wants you to do. You serve the Lord. There's great value in that. But make sure that your motive is right. Many Christians today, they serve the Lord for the wrong reason. You know, Satan accused Job of serving the Lord for the wrong reason. You know, Satan came up there to God in Job 1:9. He says, doth Job fear God for naught? He basically said this. He goes, the only reason he is not cursing you today, the only reason he's serving you today is because you put a hedge about him and he won't let anybody get to him and he's got all these different things. Just let me take all those things away from him and he'll curse God. What he was saying was this, is Job's motive is wrong in serving you, Lord. He's doing it for gain. I mean, who couldn't serve you when you have all these things, you know, and the big ranch, and you have all the cattle, and you have all the kids, and you're a very rich man. I mean, look at all the things he has. He's only serving you, Lord, so he can keep on having those things. You take those things away from him, and he'll quit serving you, and he'll curse you. And now, he was wrong about Job. Let me ask you this. Would he be wrong about you this morning? If the devil took everything away from you, what would your reaction be? I tell you this, if you got mad about it, you're probably serving the Lord for the wrong reason. Amen? I tell you this, when the devil took it away from Job, Job says, well, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. That tells me he was serving the Lord for the right reason. In other words, he was serving the Lord. It didn't matter what he had. Take it away, keep it, doesn't matter. And so there have been people that have been, if you think about this, if Satan can make that accusation against Job, there's probably been a whole lot of people in the world who've been serving the Lord for the wrong reason. Do we have the wrong motive for our service? Do we serve God because we love Him? You know, what is your motive? Do you do those things because you want gain? Do you do things because you want profit? Or do you do those things because you care about the Lord and you love Him? Like I said, we're going to receive rewards one of these days, but that should not be our motive in serving the Lord. We should serve Him because we love Him. We should serve Him because we just want to be faithful to Him. That should motivate us. That should drive us. To tell you the truth, just the fact that He says that we should serve Him should motivate us to do exactly what He tells us to do. And you say, are you mean to tell me that you say that we should serve the Lord because He said so? Yes. Yes, I am. Because if you love the Lord, you're going to do what He asks you to do. Amen. And so the reason we serve God is because we want to obey Him and be faithful to Him. But many Christians today, they serve Him for what they can get out of it. But we're not to serve the Lord for our benefit. When we get to the point where we do what we do for the Lord and not for us, at that point we will have great joy. We will have great joy. Hudson Taylor was interviewing some young people who had volunteered for the Lord's service. And he asked them several questions to find out how well qualified they were for the life that they were anticipating. One question he asked was, why do you wish to go as a foreign missionary? One replied, I want to reach others across the sea because Christ has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Another said, I want to go because millions are dying without ever hearing about Jesus Christ, the only one who can save them. Others had similar responses. Hudson Taylor looked around at them thoughtfully, thought for a moment, and then said, all of your motives are good, but I fear they will fail you in times of severe testing and tribulation, especially if you are confronted with the possibility of having to face death for your testimony. The only motive that will enable you to remain true is stated in 2 Corinthians 5:14, which says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us. Christ's love constraining you will keep you faithful in every situation. If you serve the Lord for the right motive, you won't care what happens to you, folks. If you serve the Lord with the right motive, you won't even give it a second thought going out there to witnessing to people, if you have the right motive. If you serve the Lord with the right motive, you won't give it a second thought about taking a stand against evil and against wickedness and naming sin for what it is. Because what you do, you'll be doing for the Lord, not for other people. And you won't care what other people think if you're doing what you do for the Lord. Our motives have to be right. And I'll tell you something, the one thing I got more than anything else when studying this message is this. The number one problem, I really believe this, the number one problem amongst Christians today is our motives. I really believe that more than anything else. I have no doubt that there are people, Christians all over, that want to serve the Lord and want to do right. But the problem is they're doing it for the wrong reason. They're not doing it for the Lord. They're doing it so other people can see them, and they, therefore, if other people see them and they think it's going to make them mad, then they won't do it. Anytime that you start thinking about what other people think more than the Lord, you're not serving the Lord with the right motive. Amen. And so that is how they approach serving the Lord. Now, how did they analyze serving the Lord? Well, since they felt that God was serving the Lord was foolish, it was vain to serve the Lord and futile, they kept on asking, you know, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And then their final analysis of serving the Lord is found in verse 14. Look what it says. It says, we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. It was a claim that serving the Lord was more of a burden than it was a blessing. It was a claim that serving the Lord was a mournful experience. You know, basically they're saying, why would anybody want to serve the Lord? It's a vain thing to want to serve the Lord. It's vain. It's unprofitable. When it's all said and done, it's nothing more than a burden. Therefore, why would anybody want to do it? But here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. He said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, that kind of goes against what they said. You know, there are people today that think it's a burden to serve the Lord. You know, the easiest life you'll ever live is serving the Lord. Why? Because if you're serving the Lord, then you've got his power. If you're serving the Lord, the Lord's gonna take care of you. As a Christian, the easiest life you will ever serve is serving the Lord. But see, the world tells us different. Other Christians tells us different. But the truth of the matter is, hey, you've heard me say this before, but you know, one of the great blessings is if you're serving the Lord and you're living right, you just rest better. Even the Lord said there's rest for your souls, but you just, even physically you rest better. Why? You don't have to worry about the cops knocking on the door. You don't have to worry about, because I did something wrong, are they going to catch me? If you're living right, folks, you're going to get more rest in life. Amen? Because you're going to do right. And so a person, they says, it's too much of a burden to serve the Lord. Hey, listen, for a person that's saved, the burden is not serving the Lord, because you don't have his power. Because you get away from the Lord and you start to do things you ought not do, and we mess up in life. Hey, listen, as long as you're right with God, that is the best life you could possibly live on this side of eternity. Why? Because that's what God wants for you. And he says, listen, this is the way you ought to live. We already know that on this side of eternity, it's not a picnic. Amen? I mean, there are problems, there's sickness, there's death, there's all these things and worries and all these different things in life that we have to put up with. But the Lord shows us that, listen, if we'll walk according to him and we'll live the way he wants us to live, he wants us to have the best life we can possibly have on this side of eternity because he loves us. And so he's given us the Bible to tell us how to live. And now that doesn't mean if you do everything the Bible tells you to do, you won't have problems. Certainly you will. I mean, everybody in that Bible had problems. Paul had problems. Peter had problems. John had problems. They all had problems. But can you imagine the problems they would have had if they hadn't have been living for the Lord? Can you imagine going through this life without having the hope of going to heaven when you die? Can you imagine, I mean, when you get bad news from the doctor and you have no hope? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if not living the way the Bible tells you to live, and all of a sudden you get yourself in trouble? You see, God wants you to live a certain way. And even though there's no picnic on this side of eternity, it'll be sure better if you do it God's way than it is if you do it your way. And so they said that, you know, it's too much of a burden. But the Lord says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Best way I know to describe people like that who say it's a burden to serve the Lord, again, is because they don't know what they're talking about. They haven't served him a whole lot. That if a person today comes up and tells me and says it is a burden serving the Lord, my answer to him is you need to serve him more then. Because you obviously haven't been serving him very long and very much. You know, it's kind of like telling a surgeon a better way of doing surgery when I'm not a doctor and I don't know anything about surgery. Amen? You know, for me to say that it's a burden serving the Lord, you know, that would be me acting like I know something when I don't know it. That'd be me telling you something that I've never experienced. You know, anyone could say that his burden serving the Lord has no knowledge or experience in serving the Lord. And so how could he properly evaluate anything? How can he say it's vain to serve the Lord when he has no experience to base it on? How can he say there's no profit in serving the Lord when he hasn't served God at all? You know, when you're serving the Lord, let me ask you something. When you serve the Lord and you see somebody get saved, is there value in that to you? I mean, you think about this. I don't know how many of you have actually got to witness to somebody and see that person getting saved right there in front of you. Or maybe you were with somebody else and you saw that person getting saved. How can you honestly look at me this morning and say, there was no value in that at all? I'm going to tell you right now, outside the time that I got saved and my kids got saved, every time I see somebody get saved, I just want to jump up and bounce all over the place. I mean, it's like, pew, pew, pew. I do. I get fired up. In fact, I don't know whether to cry or start laughing. Because I get so fired up. It's like my cup. How many of you know when that Bible says that your cup runneth over? Every time I see somebody get saved, my cup runneth over. It's just almost like I'm getting saved all over again. Just watching them do it. Don't tell me there's no value in that. There's great value in that. In fact, I'm just going to tell you right now that if you serve the Lord for the rest of your life and you only see one person get saved, there's value in serving the Lord just for that one soul. Amen? There is always value in serving the Lord. How about this? When you're right with God and you're faithfully serving him and you enjoy that fellowship with him and you're filled with the Spirit, is there no value in that to you? You know, whenever you get away from the Lord and you get out of fellowship with the Lord and all of a sudden you get right with him. You know that feeling that you have that, whew, like somebody just took a burden off of you? No value in that to you? No value? When you finally stand before the Lord and you hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You going to tell me there's no value in serving the Lord? Could you look at me that day and say it was all vanity serving the Lord? It was a burden serving the Lord when I was on that side of eternity. When you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't tell me there wasn't value in serving the Lord. There's value in serving the Lord, folks. But the problem is we start listening to everybody else. We start listening to the devil. We start listening to the world. The world says, boy, you know, on Sunday, beautiful day like today, what in the world are you doing in church? Hey, listen, there's value being here, and it ain't just those pies. Amen? There's value being here today. Every time that you get to sit there and read your Bible, tell me there isn't value in that. You ever been sitting there reading your Bible, and all of a sudden those words just jump off that page, and all of a sudden you just get the best encouragement ever? Or maybe you'll find one of those nuggets that you've never seen before. Or maybe just when you're going through something, there's like just a word of comfort that just jumps off the page and hits your heart. You'll tell me there's no value in that. Folks, there is value in serving the Lord. It is, in fact, it's so valuable, it's the most valuable thing that you have on this side of eternity. The privilege of serving the Lord. How dare anybody say it's vain? A person says it's vain, needs to serve more. Amen? Or change his motives. Or change his motives. We're going to look at some more in the coming weeks on some more value of divine things. But before we get started anywhere, serving the Lord is what you need to be doing on this side of eternity. Amen? It's the most valuable thing you can do.